the book of Genesis, chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, he wept. Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. We're going to read some more as we go along. This is the first time of the three occasions that we read in Genesis that Joseph wept. Our brother yesterday had so many threes. I'm not one in threes. But anyhow, the Lord Jesus is mentioned three times in the New Testament when he cried. When a man cries, brethren and sisters, there's something moving that person because we try to hide these tears. And if Joseph wept over his brethren that had treated him so badly, and he saw the process of repentance taking place in their lives, he could hardly wait to make himself known. And I believe in the coming day when Israel is restored, we read about the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 19. He wept over Jerusalem. Not so much the Gentiles, but the people of Israel, his natural people. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent. How often I would have gathered thee as a hen that gathers her brood under its wing, but you would not. Then there came a time in Israel experience, you will not. And the Lord said in John chapter 8, you cannot. But I'm sure that the Lord Jesus, like Joseph, is looking forward to that day when Israel will be brought to his knees. Israel today is worried about the nuclear bomb from Iran. I just wish that Israelites would read the Bible. They don't have to look after their own affairs. God will look after that. Nevertheless, she feels she's got to defend her borders and her people. So here Joseph is weeping. And he's going to make himself known, and he does, to his brethren that treated him just so despitefully. And then we're going to read in verse 9. I'm just going to pick up a few thoughts here in this beautiful chapter. When he makes himself known to his brethren, he says in verse 9, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. And if you just read in the past few chapters, only in the throne was he not in the same level with Pharaoh. Everything else was in his hand, brethren and sisters. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, prophetically and typically and practically, it's in resurrection that he could say, all power is given unto me. Go ye. Brethren, we're so flimsy. We lack so much that courage and holy boldness to make Christ known to others. The early chapters of the book of the Acts, it was with boldness that they testified the resurrection of Christ. That because the Spirit of God was working in and through them, the same Peter that denied the Lord before a maid is the one that says before the Sanhedrin, we ought to obey God rather than men. Brethren, let's be bold in our presentation of the word. And so we read here. But what I'd like to emphasize here is in verse 15, 13 maybe it is. My eyesight is not as good as it used to be. Now they're to go and tell their father something. That's in, I think it's verse 13 in my Bible. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that ye have seen, brothers and sisters. How easy it would have been for them to be taken up with the one that forgave them. But brethren and sisters, it's not the forgiveness today, it's the forgiver. It's not the pardoning, brethren, it's the pardoner. Too often we're occupied with our side of the blessing instead of where it all came from through the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He says, go home and tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. And if that's true of the brethren of Joseph, how much more is it true of us today? Because what were the glories of Joseph? They were just acquired glories. Unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, there's other glories that Joseph could never accept and own to himself. His essential glory, who he is, the eternal Son of the eternal God. And so they were to go and tell of the Father of all their glory, his glory in Egypt. And while they're on their way home, we read that Joseph warns them about something. And let's come down the chapter to verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Now, brethren, I need to take this to my own heart too. How easy it is to gravitate away from the things of God. We know it in theory, but it hasn't got the grip upon our hearts. The temptations come so easy to yield. See that you fall not out by the way. Don't get arguing with one another. Don't get occupied with the problems. Don't get on the telephone and speak about these things. Get occupied with the one that forgave you. That'll draw you to one another and not against one another. I remember years ago with Brother Swan in the northern part of Holland, we were invited by a farmer to come and look at his chicken farm. And he had a large barn there with 10,000 chicks that were only 2 or 3 weeks of age. And we learned a lesson, Brother Swan and myself, that day. He says, I don't want you to go inside the barn because you're a stranger. You'll disturb those chicks. I know how to go about it. But he says, if you go on the outside and lift up the hatch, you'll see 10,000 chicks in the barn. Brethren, what did I see? And I'm sure Brother Swan saw the very same thing. Everywhere they were running through the barn and they were going at it just like that, pecking at one another. Everywhere. Now he says, just watch. With a small tractor and feed, he filled about 8 troughs with mash. He says, now have a look. And instead of this, brethren, they were this. They were eating. They were enjoying something. And I believe that that is the secret in our lives as believers. If we're going to enjoy fellowship with the Lord and with one another, and after all, that's our calling. God is faithful who has called us into the fellowship of his dear Son. We're not called for heaven, brethren. In fact, I thought I was going to speak on heaven one day with Brother Joyce in Lantalou, Labrador. And after 2 hours, I says, I'm not going to speak about heaven because I don't read anything in the Bible about heaven. We refer to heaven to the preaching of the gospel. We know what's in heaven, but I can't talk about heaven because the Bible says it's always in the negative. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The revelation, there's no night there, there's no sin there, there's no pain there. So I never talk about heaven, and you haven't either. I know what's in heaven, our Redeemer's there, some of our relations are there, our rewards are there. But heaven is beyond any anticipation that we could bring up in our minds, brethren. But heaven is heaven because Christ is there. And that's our calling today. It's not calling to heaven. Let's get the person of Christ into our life. And it's the resurrection, resurrected person that we need to see. Because he's saying, brethren, they were told by Joseph to go home and tell my father of all my glories in Egypt. And when they got to the father, he says, Father, you know something? Joseph is alive. They weren't occupied with his glory. All he could say is, Joseph is alive. Poor old Jacob. First of all, he couldn't believe them. Because maybe in his mind, it's too good to be true. For 20 years, I've been living with a dead Joseph. And not only that, these persons that have been telling me, my own sons, that gave me the impression 20 years ago that some wild beast has taken him. It's the coat of many colors dipped in blood, giving the impression that Joseph had been torn apart by the wild animals. In other words, Joseph is dead. I might as well die myself. Brethren, let's be honest. Are we not more occupied with the cross than we are with the crown? Aren't we maybe just occupied with the work of Christ? Now that's basic. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. But brethren, our joy, our power resides not in the Christ upon the cross. He was delivered for our repentance, thank God. He was raised again for our justification. It's the resurrected Christ, that's where our power lies. Not the one on the cross. He is not here, he is risen. Poor old Jacob. 20 years he lived with the dead Joseph. And all the while God in his sovereignty is working in the life of Joseph. He's bringing him out of the prison right up to second in command. Like the Lord Jesus from Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, right home to the throne. That's where he is today. And that's where he says, all power is given unto me. Poor old Jacob. What convinced Jacob, brethren, that Joseph was alive? Not the words of his son, because they must be telling a lie. They must have deceived him. I'm being deceived. But listen, brethren, the word of God never deceives. When he saw the wagon loads of provision, he was convinced. Joseph is alive. I will go to him. 66 wagons, brethren. 39 in the Old Testament. He's promised in Genesis chapter 3 that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head and he would bruise his heel. And the devil, as Brother Gould brought out yesterday in the Bible reading, the devil has so often tried to interfere with the purposes of grace and God's sovereign dealing with that nation. How many times the devil tried to destroy the seed royal? Right down to the birth of the Lord Jesus in Ramah, there's a great cry made, Rachel weeping for her children, and they are not. One German Hutterite brother in our assembly in Portage clarified something for me. I always thought that not only with Herod, Pharaoh, but also with Herod, that it was all the male children under 2 years of age. And he showed me from the German Bible, he killed all the children, male and female. All the children. In the days of Pharaoh, it was only the male children. Interfering, he thought, and the devil no energizing to do away with the seed royal. But in Ram, it was all the children. But when Jacob saw the wagon loads of provision, it was the word, brethren, that convinced him. And the word of God, if we read it intelligently and with the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, it'll take us beyond the cross. It'll take us to the road. That's where our power lies, brethren. And if we don't preach the resurrection of Christ, we're not preaching the gospel. H.A. Ironside, with 20 others, went to the Holy Land years ago. He died in 51, so it was before that. The Arab guide led him to the different places where likely the Lord Jesus moved. Finally, they got to the sepulchre. And with a kind of a grin upon his face, he says, "I'm sorry, Christians." He says, "I can't show you anything. An empty tomb. Come with me to Mecca, and I'll show you the embalmed body of Muhammad, our leader." And there's a quietness in the tomb. And then 20 voices began to sing, led by H.A. Ironside. "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior. He stole the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose. We're glad for an empty tomb. He fills the throne, he throned above. He fills it without wrong. The object of the Father's love, the theme of angel song. God delights, the Father delights in the work of his Son, brethren. Let's get beyond the cross. Thank God the cross is basic. That's where sin has been put away. But he's been raised again for our justification." There we read. In Jacob's heart, in verse 26, "And Jacob's heart fainted, too good to be true, and he believed them not, because they weren't preaching the truth, telling the truth. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived." And notice, "and Israel said," not Jacob. Jacob got his name changed in Genesis 32. Myself included. He didn't walk in the good of the new name. Then it was he had power with God and with men, but he never walked that way. He reverted back to the Jacob's character. But here he rises to his new name. It is enough. What? Joseph is alive. Brethren, that's the message today. We trust in the confidence. It is enough for us that he is risen from the dead. And God has seated him at his own right hand, a prince and the Savior. What a day that's going to be when the Lord Jesus, just like with Joseph, Joseph couldn't refrain himself as he made himself known to his brethren. I'm sure the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father is longing for the day. 2,000 years down through, they've suffered so much. When Netanyahu, in his first term as Prime Minister of Israel, went to China, and the leader of the China Republic, with almost 1 billion at that time, now it's over 1 billion people, he said, "You know, we have the same history, don't we, Premier Netanyahu?" "Yes," says Netanyahu, "with one exception." He says, "How many people are there in China?" "Well," he says, "almost 1 billion. He says, "How many people in Israel?" At that time, there were 3 million. "And their history has been just as long. Time after time, they've been wiped out. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus is longing for the day. And as he weeps over that people who in their unbeliefs continue the sin of the nation and the rejection of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, we trust in this confidence. Our thoughts and minds will get centered on the one who not only died upon the cross, but rose again the third day. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And because he lives, we shall live also.